Go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And we're going to be in verses 14 through 28 to start with. Luke chapter 11, verse 14 through 28. Last couple of weeks, just been talking in general about just having the happiness or the joy of the Lord. And this morning, we're going to look at the fact that the Word of God in action in our life does bring the happiness that we need into our life. Because truly, happiness is having the Word of God at work in our life, just as last week we looked at knowing the Lord. Knowing who the Lord is brings happiness into our life and helps us to keep pressing on, to keep living the life the Lord has led us to live, to keep following our Savior each and every day, and just to see the bountiful blessings that God wants to bestow in our life along the way. So Luke chapter 11, looking at verse 14 through 28, the Bible records he was casting Jesus out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest. And finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. It came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Father, we do thank you again this morning for allowing us to be gathered together. But Lord, we do want your blessing upon the reading of your word. Father, we ask that your word would do what it's intended. You promised that it would go forth. It would accomplish that which you intend it to accomplish in our hearts. And Father, we do want the word of God to pierce our hearts, Lord, that Father, you would guide us according to your will. You'd help us to learn the things we need to learn, to remind us of what we need to be reminded of, helping us, Father, to put our faith in the Word of God, allowing it to really be the lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. Father, I ask as always, you bless the children. Lord, minister to their hearts just like you did in Sunday school. Would you do it again in junior church? Father, from the young people all the way up, Lord, to the older people, I pray that you would minister to our hearts this morning. Father, help us to be drawn unto you. Help us, Lord, to in our minds to sit spiritually like Mary did at the feet of Jesus and to listen to you as you teach us the precious words that you've given us. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, again, I want to talk to us just about the fact that the truth of God's word truly does bring happiness into a Christian's life. You and I cannot live the Christian life without having the Word of God to lead us, to guide us, as the Bible tells us. It truly is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Not everybody receives the truth of God's Word. Not everybody keeps the Word of God or even applies the Word of God to their life. And in our account this morning, just as we see Jesus casting out a demon that the Bible says was dumb, not that the demon was not intellectual, but dumb in the sense that the person that was possessed with this demon could not speak. All right, could not speak. The demon had control of this person. When you read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see different people who are possessed with demons and how their life is being controlled by an unclean spirit. The Bible says that Jesus would cast out many unclean spirits. And again, when we think, the reason why I start with that, because remember, the Word of God is quick and powerful. Jesus has all authority. Many times before Jesus would even speak, the demons that were possessing people, like the demoniac of Gadara, as soon as Jesus stepped onto the shore, the man that was possessed came running to him, falling at his feet. And the demon, you know, even begging for mercy and saying, you know, have you come to torment us before the time? So what I want us to understand is that Jesus' word is powerful. If it's powerful enough to rebuke a demon out of a person, if it's powerful enough to create the universes, if it's powerful enough to calm the winds and the waves on the Sea of Galilee, then it is powerful enough to calm even our hearts and our fears, but also it's powerful enough to guide us through our life. And God wants for us to enjoy His word as a child of God. It does bring comfort into our life. It brings direction into our life. And I've said it many times before, and I'll say it again, that when you find yourself having a bad day, we tend to want to do other things. Sometimes, you know, I remember just in my younger years, if I had a bad day, I'd come home, flip on the TV, and just sit there and just veg out, just not really even paying attention to what was on TV, just trying to, you know, just forget about what happened in the day and trying to find some comfort, some peace, some outlet for what, you know, was bothering me. But as a child of God, as a Christian, as a Bible-believing Christian, we do find comfort in the Scriptures. And when we look at the verses here, we want to make sure that we always receive the Word. Not everybody will. But notice, though, in our text this morning, look at verse 14. He was casting out a devil. It was dumb. It came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake. The person that had this demon that could not speak, now he's able to speak, and the people wondered. Every miracle Jesus did, there were those that were amazed at what he could do. And yet they would reject the truth of his teachings. In verse 15, but some of them said, he casts out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. It does matter this morning what you think about Jesus Christ. It really matters what your belief is in regards to Jesus Christ. There were those that saw the miracles, saw this person that could not speak, that was being controlled by an evil spirit, by an unclean spirit, being rebuked by Jesus and being able to speak. And there were those that wondered at what was going on. But then there were those that would not receive what Jesus had said and what Jesus was doing, and even claimed that Jesus had a devil himself. They were rejecting the truth of who Jesus was. Some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. Show us a sign from heaven that you truly are the Son of God. But what did he just do? He just got done cleansing somebody. He just got done casting out a demon. He just got done transforming a person's life drastically from not being able to speak, not having control of their life, to now they're able to speak and they're no longer under the influence and under the power of a devil. And yet they want him to show us a sign, show us some other sign. But again, there are those that do reject who Jesus is. There are those that even reject his words and want to say, well, you know, he's a devil himself. But I want you to think about what Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 47 through 48. If any man hear my words and believe not, if any man hear my words and believe not, now Jesus spoke. He spoke authority over this demon, and the demon left the person, and the person was cleansed of the wickedness. the person was able to speak again. Just like the demoniac of Gadara when Jesus spoke and the demons left that man. And when the townspeople came to see what had happened, they saw the man that they tried to control. They tried to chain up. They tried to help and could not. They see him sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. And he had great peace in his life because Jesus is the Prince of Peace that comes into a life and brings that abundance of peace where once there was a raging storm. Again, Jesus says, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Jesus says there are those that will reject. Again, as I talk, obviously, to a room full of believers, we should always receive the truth of God's word. We should always receive God's direction in our life because it truly does bring happiness in our life. No doubt, this person's life was changed because Jesus Christ spoke the word, and he speaks the word to us as well. In Mark chapter 7, take your Bibles, go to Mark chapter 7, because again, there are those that do reject, all right? They reject the word of God. They don't want to listen to it, and they will continue to be unhappy in their life. And there are those that will even, at times, they will try to mix truth with false ideas, as in the case with the woman. You're in Mark chapter 7, but let me just read this real quick, because as Jesus is speaking in Luke 11, an unnamed woman comes, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. But Jesus goes on to say, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. There are those that try to mix truth of who Jesus is with false ideas. Again, this woman comes and says, you know, blessed is the woman that bare thee. And Jesus says, no, though Mary was a wonderful mother, she was a vessel chosen by God to bear Jesus Christ in the womb. Yet Jesus says, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. You're in Mark chapter 7, look at verse 5 through 9. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And he's speaking, obviously, to the Pharisees and the scribes who are questioning Jesus. You know, why aren't your disciples doing what we do? And what they were doing, what the Pharisees and the scribes were doing, they were doing what they were taught by their fathers. The fathers being the previous priests and those that were in religious authority. And Jesus warns them and tells them that Esaias or Isaiah prophesied of them, saying that with their lips they would honor the Lord, but their hearts were far from him in the things that they did and what they believed. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject. Again, Jesus speaking to those Pharisees and scribes, he's telling them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. God's word is not for private interpretation. There's no private interpretation. God's word says what it means. We are not to take God's word and do like the devil and try to twist it to say what we want. And you've met people, I've met people like that. And sometimes even in our own life, maybe without even realizing it, we try to take scripture to say and mean what we want it to say so that we can do what we want to do or because it makes sense to us. Again, When you look at this woman, she comes and says, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. Again, Mary was somebody God chose. She was used by God, but she needed a Savior just as well. And Jesus says, no, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. They're truly the ones that are blessed. Mary had to as well believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. She had to believe what the scriptures said of this man called Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But again, there are those that will reject the truth. There are those that sometimes are confused because they try to mix truth with false ideas. Look at verse 28 in Luke 11. Luke 11, verse 28. There are some, though, that are receptive of the word of God, and we want to be receptive because, again, to reject and to even not to be confused in some way and not hold to the truth of God's word and accept it for what it is, we'll never find the true happiness that we need. You think about somebody, I mean, I could just stop right here and just think about this. Somebody who truly wants to go to heaven. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to heaven. There are those that have false ideas that there are many ways to heaven. That, you know what? I can go to heaven by, and, you know, they'll give their ideas. There's only one way to heaven. And that's why Jesus says, you know what? If they're not against me, they're for me. Because his disciples would come to him later and say, hey, we heard someone speaking, casting out demons in your name, but he doesn't follow us. He's not in our group. And Jesus says, hey, if he's not against me, he's for me. Just because he's not in our group. But here's where we have to be careful is the truth of God's word is there is one way of salvation, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by works, we understand that, not by paying anything, but it is by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And when that happens, there is a joy and a happiness that comes into that life. But you know what? Life continues. Life continues, and we've got to be careful that that joy is not sucked out of our life, but that we continue to walk in the joy of the Lord. We continue to allow the word of God to be the lamp unto our feet, the light unto our path, that we continue to receive the truth of God's word. And we don't allow ourselves to get to a place where we try to make everybody else believe the way that we believe. There are those that believe that, you know what, you should worship on Saturday. You should keep the Sabbath. And yet they believe Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, but they just think Saturday you should be worshiping. You know, Paul kind of hit on this when he was writing a letter, and he said, you know, there's some that believe you should only eat herbs. There's some that believe, you know what, you need to be a vegetarian and not eat meat. And there are those that think, you know what, well, God's given us meat. God's blessed meat. I can find in Scripture where God tells us, you know what, you can eat the meat. But Paul says, don't be an offense to one another. If someone really believes that, you know what, you shouldn't eat meat, okay, don't invite them over and grill them a steak and put it before them, all right? There's some things we have to learn to disagree because, you know what, really, it's not something that is eternal. It's not something that's worth debating. Now, again, salvation, one way of salvation, well, that's worth, you know, debating in a sense that, you know what, there is only one way, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I believe that, then I will receive every word of God's word because it is profitable for me. It will give me direction in my life. It will help me to truly find the peace that I need. It will guide me through relationships. It will guide me through decisions. It will remind me on my worst day where I think the whole world is against me. Think about this. Have you ever felt like at any time in your life the whole world was against you because nothing was going right? If you've never had a day like that, please come and tell me your secret. Because it's just life. This is times where you think, you know, nothing's going right. Sometimes, you know, sometimes we may even cause difficulties because we put things off. And recently I kept putting off getting a new car battery. I kept babying it. The car would hesitate. It would start. And then it wouldn't start. So, okay, and put the battery charger on it, charge it up, you know, and crank it and go. Well, I had this, some people might want to call it an instinct, gut feeling. I felt the Lord telling me, your car's not going to start today. I got in it, it started. So I went to work. I went to work yesterday. Yesterday morning, went to work early in the morning. You know, it's frigid outside, the wind's blowing, it's cold. I drive to work and heated, all nice and warm. I get out, go in, get off later, go out to my car, use the button to start it. I get up there, I must not have been in range for it to start. Sometimes that happens. You're not in range, you know, you're in a building, whatever. I get in there, I put it in there. Oh, you got to be kidding me. So I had to find someone with jumper cables and get the car going again. And it got going. And, okay, I'll go get a battery. So I went and got a battery. What am I saying? If we don't listen to God in our Christian life, we kind of put things off that the Lord speaks to our heart about, we're going to get to a place where the Lord just causes us to stop until we do what we know we're supposed to do. Because you know what? You can't operate a vehicle without a battery. You need a battery. You and I can't operate our Christian life without the leading of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to guide us. God wants us to have the joy of the Lord. Remember, in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of the joy of the Lord. And where do we get that? We get that from Scripture. But we always got to make sure that we will receive God's word. Jesus says, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God. Hearing is receiving. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Again, this morning, hopefully you've got a Bible in front of you, or you've got a Bible on your phone that you're looking at, and you believe what the Bible says. Again, I've said it before, but all answers to life are found in Scripture. All answers to life are found in Scripture. You want to know why some people are unhappy in their relationships? Because they're unequally yoked. They're unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Someone who does not believe in their Lord and Savior. Maybe somebody, again, and you know, please don't be offended. Don't get mad at me for saying being unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Because, again, that doesn't make anybody happy that someone doesn't know Christ as their Savior and won't believe on Him. But I find, though, that a lot of times when people, and I'm going to say younger people, let me even just address the younger people just for a moment. You're a Christian, you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Don't get into a relationship with a non-believer. Don't allow yourself to get in a relationship with a non-believer. Because what's going to happen? You're not going to change them. They're going to change you. Evil communications corrupt good manners. That's why God warns us in His Word. Now, if somebody doesn't know that, I'm glad for the grace of God that, you know, Can a lost person get saved? Yes. But should you take that chance? No. And I bring that up because everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to be accepted by somebody. Everybody wants somebody to value them. And unfortunately, the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy, and he can pretend to love somebody in order to destroy them and draw them away from the Lord. What I'm saying is that as a Christian, we should be following the Word of God, letting God guide us by His Word, receiving the truth of God's Word. Okay, God warns me that I need to be careful in my relationships. God warns me in being careful in trusting people who are not going to counsel me in the ways of the Lord. God encourages me, hey, you're going to find true happiness and joy in my presence following me. If you don't listen to anything I say this morning, just listen to the words of Jesus. Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Let's at least follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because He wants to give us an abundance of life. He wants to fill us with His love and His joy, and He wants us to keep His word. Proverbs 3:13 says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. And true wisdom comes down from the Father of lights, Jesus. God said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. We're told in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Again, we are encouraged, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Why? Because God's word never fails. God's word never leads us in a wrong direction. God's word will always comfort us, will always shed light on any situation, and God's word will always point us to the one who is our help, who is our strength. And God wants us to reflect on His word. Look at James chapter 1, if you would. James chapter 1. Again, like I said this morning, the word of God in action in our life truly does bring happiness. The more that we put our confidence and our trust in God's word, the more we will find happiness in our life, even when others seemingly are not finding happiness in the Lord because they are not listening to God as God speaks to them through His word. In James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Notice what God says through James. James is just the writer. He's writing down what the Lord gave him to write down. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We're the ones that are deceived when we don't believe what God says in His word, when we follow some other way. Again, there are smooth talkers in this world. There are smooth talkers in this world that will cause people to believe what they say because it sounds good, it makes them feel good, but yet it's all poison. It's all to poison their hearts and minds against their Savior. It's to draw them away from the comfort of their God. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Again, God wants you and I and all His people to be the happiest people in the world. Again, we can't go back and redo things that, you know, decisions that we made that weren't right. But again, like we even talked in Sunday school this morning, where you're at right now in life is right where the Lord wants you and I to start walking with Him. Because as Peter denied the Lord three times and went back fishing because he thought, no, his life is over. God doesn't want to talk to him. I mean, all the lies that he allowed himself to think forgetting about the grace of God in his life, forgetting about how Jesus treated the woman that was caught in adultery and cast at his feet by the Pharisees and said, hey, the law says she must die, but what do you say? And she received grace. She wasn't condemned by the Lord. The Lord said, if any of you among you have no sin, cast the first stone. And they all left because they were all guilty. They felt guilty in their conscience. And when he addressed the woman, said, where are thine accusers? Are there none? She said, there's none here. I condemn thee. I don't condemn thee either. Go thy way and sin no more. When Peter thought his life was all washed up, he wasn't going to have a relationship with the Lord anymore, Jesus is the one that came and found him. And where he found him, he said, follow me. After he asked him three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter was convicted in his heart and said, he was grieved and said, Lord, you know I love you. Okay, well, follow me. Forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto the things that are before us. Following the Lord, putting our eyes back on the author and finisher of our life. The Lord does not want his people to be unhappy people, miserable people. You make mistakes in life, don't let the devil rob you of the joy of the Lord, the joy of thy salvation that's found in Christ. God wants us, you know what? Look into the perfect law of liberty. Look into God's word as you would in a mirror. And let the Lord show you things that need to be seen so that you can change it with the Lord's help. The Bible reminds us in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, study that show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, looking into the word of God, laboring into the word of God. I mean, you're searching the word of God for direction in your life, for comfort in your life, for the Lord to show you great and mighty things. Again, we're reminded in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God says we'll have a prosperous life, a good, successful life, if we will adhere as God's people to his word. I can't expect a non-believer to believe in God's word, to trust it, to follow it. But you know what? If I believe that God said in his word, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, then why don't I believe him for other things, for other guidance in my life? Why don't I allow God's word to truly be that lamp unto my feet and light unto my path where it guides me through the entire course of my life? Now, will we face times in our life where there is sadness? Sure. But there should never be an unhappiness in the soul. There should never be a time in our life where we feel empty on the inside because we have Christ. We have the greatest gift, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God's taken up residence in our life, as Jesus said, the Comforter. He called him the Comforter for a reason. Again, we want to make sure that we do, that as Christians, as Bible-believing Christians, that we do find our hope and comfort in the Word of God. That we don't look to man for comfort and direction in life, but we look to our Lord and Savior who says every day, follow me, follow me, follow me. Because every day it's a choice. Every day is a different day. Yesterday might have been a great day, and man, that's awesome. Never had a great day like that in a long time. That's great, and we forget we're going into a new day, new challenges, things, you know, new obstacles. We're not quite sure. We're expecting to have a great day, but you know what? God, will you guide me through it? Help me to stay focused. Lord, when I'm faced with a roadblock, help me to look up and ask you for direction. Whether it's, again, relationships, jobs, whatever it may be. Always getting our direction from the Lord. Always allowing God to guide us. Because God truly does want his children to have the joy of the Lord. To have that happiness that comes through knowing Christ and following the word of God. Look back, if you would, at Luke 11, if you're not there. Luke 11, verse 28 again. Just looking at the words of Christ. Looking at the words of Christ. Jesus says, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word and keep it. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Last thing I want us to think about is the fact that we can rejoice in God's word, rejoicing in the word of God. Philippians 2:16 says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. As Paul writes to the believers at Philippi, you know, those at Philippi was the Lydia, the seller of purple, the unnamed young woman that was demon-possessed, that was a fortune teller, a soothsayer, that brought her masters much gain. She was a child of the devil, yet she met the Lord Jesus Christ. She was delivered. You have the Philippian jailer that asked what he must do to be saved because of the witness that Paul and Silas had. He's writing to those people and others that are in the church that have put their faith and trust in Christ. He says, holding forth the word of life. And Paul's not talking about what his words, but God's word. God's word is the word of life. God gives life through his word because the word of God is quick and powerful. It does give life to us. It gives meaning to our relationship with the Lord. It guides us as we walk through a dark world. It gives us the light, the insight, and the wisdom that we need. It says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You know what? You know, and hopefully you know this, when you meet the Lord face to face, you're not going to go, oh, you know what? I followed the wrong way. You're not the one I wanted to follow. There was somebody else I was trying to follow. There won't be a single person that says, you know what? I followed the wrong way because I'm in heaven. I was trying to go somewhere else, right? No, we want to go to heaven because we see a glimpse of heaven in scriptures. Jesus talked about it. The whole counsel of God talks about the goodness of God, the fact there's been a place prepared, but not just a place prepared, but a life that's been prepared to walk with the Lord. He says, rejoicing in the day of Christ. You know what? I am going to rejoice. You're going to rejoice in that day you see him face to face. But what about today? What about the day you're in right now? February the 20th, 2022. Are you rejoicing in this day? Because of Jesus Christ, because you have the gift of salvation, because you have God's presence in your life, guiding you, directing you. Even though I can't see what's going to happen this week, even though, you know, I believe God kind of was giving me a hint yesterday and I kind of blew it off and went to work anyway and didn't get a new battery before yesterday. Yet I rejoice in the fact that, you know what? There was someone that had jumper cables. There was somebody that was willing to come alongside and, you know what? Encourage me in helping my car. You know what? That wasn't encouragement because the first person I called, they're like, oh, I don't have any. Let me ask around. Somebody had jumper cables. And they're like, well, I got jumper cables, but my car is having issues, so I can't jump your car with mine. But somebody else says, you know what, I'll do it. And that's a good day. I can rejoice in the fact that, you know what, even though I didn't listen to the Lord was still gracious enough to help me, and I had to recognize that and thank the Lord and do what he already told me to do before and go get a battery. There's something in your life that maybe God's already told you to do, has already tried giving you direction, but you're trying all other avenues first. As humans, we do that sometimes because sometimes the way of God doesn't seem like it makes sense to us because God's way is higher than our ways. Yet God's way is always a blessed way. It's always a rejoicing way. It's always a way that will even help us to get closer to Him, trusting Him. In Psalm 19 and verse 8, because we can rejoice in the Word of God, we do find encouragement. The Bible says in Psalm 19 and verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fact that God's Word does truly rejoice our heart, because we know it will always lead us in the right direction. It will always draw us closer to the Lord. It will always help us. It's like water that cleanses us. All right? It's like water that cleanses us, cleanses our thinking, helps us to get back on track with the Lord. And because we rejoice in our heart, we find that our eyes are enlightened, that we see what we need to see. We see the truth. We see the direction that God wants us to go. We see, even as I look into Scripture, Lord, I was wrong and you were right. Help me, Lord, to continue following you. Because sometimes we might find ourselves being like Peter. Again, Peter did something he said he wouldn't do. He felt guilty about it. He felt bad about it. He didn't think God wanted anything to do with him. He went back and tried to do, old things that just weren't working out for him. And the Lord comes to him and makes things right and helps Peter to see that God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is the strength that we need to forget whatever may have derailed us from the straight and narrow path that has caused us not to believe wholeheartedly the truth of God's word, not to completely rely upon the Lord, helps us to realize, you know what? I was wrong, but God is always there to give me another chance, to give me that second chance to trust Him, to follow Him, to believe in Him, and to allow Him to guide my steps. And because of that, we can be encouraged. And encouraged people who are encouraged in the Lord and encouraged in the Word of God are truly happy people, because they have the Lord on their side. If God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Jesus said in John 13, verse 17, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Again, happiness is not circumstances being removed or changed, but our happiness or joy is found in the faithful Savior who's always there, who's always walking with us. Do we want certain circumstances to change? Yeah. Sometimes do we even want people to get what they deserve? Now, we wouldn't say that out loud, but if someone does us wrong, someone mistreats us, Lord, you're the judge of all the earth that should do right, so will you judge them, please? Lord, will you revenge me because of what they did? And obviously, the Lord doesn't work that way. The Lord's not willing that any should perish, but they all come to repentance. But there's times, again, where we're unhappy with circumstances, with people. Peter was unhappy, but the Lord came to Peter to get his focus back on Christ. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Follow me. And to follow is to have a focus on the Lord. Peter goes on, no doubt, to live a very happy life as he followed the purpose and calling of God in his life. And there were others as well that became happy people because they were encouraged in the truth of God's word and they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 111, thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I've inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. The psalmist said that he found happiness in the word of God. He found joy in the direction of God in his life, in God's direction in his life. Again, as we just think about just God's word at work in your life. If we will allow God's word to work in our life, if we will adhere to it, if we will be, even as the writer says, if we'll be like babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, well, we crave God's word. We want God's word to lead us, to guide us, to comfort us, to give us the wisdom that we need, to draw us closer to him, transforming us more into the image of Christ, because the fruit of the Spirit is being cultivated in our hearts, being produced in our life, we truly will find the happiness that we desire. We will continue living in the joy of the Lord. And others will see that as well. Go ahead and stand if you would as we close. I see a lot of Christians struggling, young and old, struggling, not having the fullness of the joy of the Lord in their life. And not necessarily anybody in here, just in general, as I see Christians all over that claim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life, but they're not walking in the joy of the Lord. God truly does want each of us to walk in the joy of the Lord. And he gives us his word to help guide us through this life that's full of trials, but yet we can still have the joy of the Lord. And this is the number one thing in our life that should be near and dear to our heart, because we know it teaches us the way of salvation, but man, it teaches us so much more for a full life that is filled with the joy of the Lord.